Hello, welcome to the Dot Metaverse podcast. I'm Ido Siegel, CEO of Touchcast. We're leading the metaverse into the enterprise realm. Join us every week as we explore key themes and ideas surrounding the metaverse. Today, we have an amazing guest. Vic Tandone is the global lead for commerce at Accenture.
Metaverse has brought us into the physical space represented in the digital world. That's the technology that we are interested in. That's something that we want to invest. That's something that we feel defines the future of connectivity and experience.
An amazing responsibility and an amazing time. Thank you so much, Vic, for joining us today.
No, thanks for having me here.
Yeah, before we jump into this amazing topic, I would like to have our listeners learn a bit about your journey, like what brought you to where you are today and what you kind of see as the future on your path.
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in the agency side, helping clients redefine customer experience for the longest period of time. Over the period of time, more and more of my focus came to commerce, which I feel as I'm a surgeon and feel very confident that if I do it well, the patient will survive. And that intrigued my interest. Mostly my focus has been on the retail and the consumer packaged goods side. But in the last several years, the scope of commerce, as we know it, has expanded way beyond that. If you look at organizations that sell indirectly, they are selling now directly, and they are using more digital channels to sell. Organizations that use sales teams, account-based approaches to sell their products and services are now moving into the commerce space, selling a very complex product digitally. And all of this is now becoming part of a new, renewed journey of what commerce is. It's no longer just selling simple products, products that you could repeat every single time digitally. It is now becoming more complex products that requires a lot of understanding of those products and continued servicing of those products, becoming part of mainstream that consumers and customers are now buying digitally. Pretty interesting time right now, where we are in that journey.
Why do you think that change is happening now? What's causing this new swath of products and services to be explored through this path?
Well, I mean, one easy thing to think about is it's primarily, pandemic taught us so. But even before pandemic, the digital adoption was in higher double digits in every single industry and sector that we witnessed. Pandemic only accelerated it. So that's one way to look at it. But if we unpack few scenarios, if we go back and look at what retail has done, it has created new buying habits. So it is the same person that you are selling to, irrespective of whether you are selling a retail in the retail, the same person is a small business owner, the same person is a corporate business owner, is starting to learn those habits. They want to buy on their own terms. They want to buy the product once they understand how that product will fit in. They want to analyze and use that product before they essentially commit to it. And digital just creates a pretty interesting way for you to interact with the product if done well. And seamlessly simulate that in what you want to produce without a lot of pressure from the account teams, without a lot of pressure from somebody watching you. And it's just natural human behavior that certain decisions that you want to make, and you make it without significant influence. You make it based on your timetable. You make it based on when you need it, where you want to buy it. And you make it based on, just aligning the need of that product in your situation. And digital fits right well in that scenario.
So to kind of summarize in a more general sense, like the total addressable market, the TAM that is susceptible to being sold digitally is maybe even exponentially expanding. It's not a small expansion. How would you characterize that expansion from an economic perspective?
Well, it's huge. The share, the TAM is already touching $10 trillion, which we anticipate through our research will triple in the next 3 years to come. But it's less important that the TAM is so high. It's more important for businesses that you and I serve is what do they do with this channel? How effectively they can use this channel? Because certainly one thing this TAM is telling us is that the customer expectation has revised quite significantly. They are starting their journey in interacting with your product and services digitally, which is not going away. And how do you make that experience richer, more immersive, more connected, more intelligent, more intuitive is the way for them to go. And how do they reorganize internally their processes, their people to support that is more important. So all our focus has been building platforms that could help this digital adoption to improve both for their consumers, customers, and their employees, and helping them make the most use of it in a way that this platform becomes even more productive than what it used to be.
I think that's an incredibly insightful point of view, because when we engage in conversations about the role of technology and the disruption and evolution, like we've discussed so far, often people overlook the fact that at the end of the day, it's all about the human capital these companies have and how to position them for success, growth, et cetera. Because a lot of times technology is viewed as a replacement for humans, right? Because when you consider e-commerce replacing the brick and mortar, maybe you can refine that point a bit based on your experience or point of view to help people understand that aspect. I think it's specifically when it comes to this stage we're at and the role of the human empathy in this next stage of growth.
That's a very deep question. So let's paint a scenario. Let's take a large CPG, just to understand it, right? As they are selling to their end customers, the more traditional route to sales has been through these account teams that have that relationship with those customers that are buying their products. And as much as it is product differentiation, they need to be a masterclass in brand building and relationship building. And that has been the traditional way for them to sell their products and services. Now, that model is no longer able to support the growing number of customers that they can reach out to. They just cannot have that many people to support the long tail. So digital comes to picture because it is a amplifying impact on that one. If the conversations that can be handled in a more predefined, automated way, state through is a keyword that we use a lot in a way, then those could be handled by the machines. However, making time available from these individuals to then attend to conversations that are more complex, that require you to improve your relationship with the customer or the buying individual. And it frees up the time where humans must focus on. So the conversation is moving to more of a bot-human kind of a thing, where things that can be automated, things that can be self-serviced, access to information, access to data, access to knowledge is happening through the digital means. And the human capital is turning into what they are best at, managing the relationship, solving more complex problems that require a unique solution to be in place. So that's a humanity in action at a much wider scale, as compared to technology replacing humans, right? And I don't feel that this question of human to human connection is going to go away. What we are doing is only going to amplify it. is only going to make sure that this connection is much more robust and much more scalable.
I think that's a great way to summarize that. And our journey together, for those listeners that are not familiar with TouchCast, or Accenture for that matter, Accenture being over 600,000 people, the world's biggest agency, and Vic sits in Accenture Interactive, which is an amalgamation of many agencies working in concert to solve some of the world's company's biggest challenges, including looking at these problems very strategically in terms of the future of the longevity of the business, which is revenue driven. And this is why this is so important. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is not marketing. This is actually selling and creating revenue. And that is a very heavy responsibility that Vic and his teams carry as they consult these clients and help them forge a path, a digital journey. This is the first time I'm going to mention the word metaverse. And we've gone for some time without mentioning it because I think there is this tendency to confuse technology, which is an enabler, with a goal. So there's a lot of excitement around metaverses. We need to be in the metaverse. Well, what are we doing in the metaverse? But that's kind of the wrong question to ask. I mean, that metaverse is just for a technology that enables for the type of activity that we started to talk about to happen, at least through the lens of TouchCast and our work together with Vic and the Accenture teams, have revolved around the on-ramp to this metaverse experience is more the experience we've all had in the last 2 years is in the shadow of the pandemic of spending so much time on calls that are video calls, moving so much of our physical interaction into the digital realm. And the metaverse represents an opportunity to kind of graft the physical environments, whether it's a store or clinic, et cetera, so that when we meet, when we engage, when we interact, when we buy, when we sell, we do so with the benefit of a really high fidelity experience that's more similar to the human experience of meeting. And really, the way I differentiate the type of opportunities we're pursuing in the metaverse versus the prior deep well of success that e-commerce has seen that's totally disrupted so much is that e-commerce, for the most part, is still the Sears catalog from the 1970s presented in the digital format. It's a form of collateralization, like a print artifact that's become digital. But when we start having this discussion about the impact on commerce through this lens of the metaverse, we really are, for the first time, entering this era where we're actually trying to graft the physical experience of buying something into a digital construct. Does that resonate with you, Vic, as a description?
Totally. I mean, there are a few different kind of buying scenarios or customer journeys, right? If there's a repeat buy, if you are buying exactly the same thing over and over again, once you see that in the physical space, you know exactly what it is. As long as it remains the same, you are able to buy it digitally. That's one scenario. And most of the web you are talking about is structured around that scenario, right? There's not a whole lot of immersive discovery that happens. That's why this concept of Omni came into picture, where you start to connect the digital world with the physical world. But it was really two different worlds. They were not the same world to start with. You go to the physical world, you touch and feel and understand the product. You talk to humans who can help you understand the product even better, connect you to other products that augment the experience to that product or a service. And then once you are thoroughly convinced, you may buy it then, or you may buy it digitally. It doesn't matter. But the main important part is that the repeat process can start from there. However, that very first interaction, the understanding of the physical product, the social aspect of it, when you are in a store, when you see people interacting with the product, with other products, with accessories that go along with the product, just cannot be matched in the digital space. You just can't do it, right? You know, with major restrictions that we were all in very recently, we just couldn't enjoy that. We couldn't enjoy the immersiveness of a physical space. Metaverse has changed it. Metaverse has brought us into the physical space represented in the digital world, right? You can take a product, a digital twin of the product, and interact exactly in the same way, like the way that you would interact in the physical space, even more intuitively, because now the machine could assist you in understanding that product, which you know, in the physical space, you may or may not have it. And obviously, the number of variations and the permutations can come to life in the digital space much more effectively as compared to in the physical space, where there could be limitations on the number of variations you can carry in a physical store, right? So that has really, really unpacked the power of immersive experience in the digital space that was quite restricted. The other point that I would like to raise is the fact of, you know, the social aspect of buying. It is important, right? You get influenced with what other people are buying. So the way that we do it in the digital space right now is by connecting the web experience to the social experience to the physical experience. That's another dimension that we bring in. But again, you know, that is deemed as a different channel altogether. And it is complicated to bring that aspect together in the same channel. Metaverse is able to bring the social in the same digital channel, unlike the more traditional digital experiences could do. So now, like at Accenture, we created a metaverse for our employees who just can't meet in an office. We created an nth floor. Now we can go to that nth floor. We essentially can meet, interact with people like the way that we meet in physical spaces. That improves the social attachment to the culture of the organization, to the connection with the overall vision and the progress that we're making at a community level, at an office level, at a market level. Now, with that much of success, we are very convinced that if we can bring that social experience into commerce, like the way we get inspired when we are in a shopping mall, you can get the same level of experience in the metaverse by seeing what other people are doing. So that connection, that immersive connection, the digital world really unpacks the power of digital world.
I think that I'm listening to you, and it obviously resonates because of the work we're doing together. But like, I feel there's this fundamental, we talked about earlier, the means and the ends technical challenge. So the devil is in the details of implementation and delivery to accessibility to this bounty to a very broad customer base or employee base. And at Accenture, which is an incredibly progressive company, to your point, Accenture has invested in, I believe, over 30,000 VR headsets that have been shipped to all the employees. So you can really establish this. And that's a very bold strategic move. And I don't know if there are any other companies, I don't believe there are at that scale, that have done that. And that's a good reflection of Accenture eating its own dog food and allowing its team to kind of live in the future. For the rest of the world, like this, I love this sentence that the future is already here. It's just not equally distributed, right? So that's a good example of that. And there's a lot of argument to be had whether or not, you know, a VR headset is even sustainable, like relevant conduit for a lot of these things. We at TouchCast, together with Accenture in terms of execution, have focused on a path that doesn't have the weakest link problem, right? That it doesn't suffer from, if you don't have this type of device or if you don't have a VR headset, you can still be immersed in an experience that helps to deliver on the way you've articulated it. And we've accomplished that through our partnership with Microsoft and basically putting it into a Teams call. So you just join a call and you're in that environment, in that store. And I think you showed it at the Metaverse Summit we ran at CES. You showed this beautiful demo of the Microsoft store, which someone can just effectively jump into like they would join a Teams call. And one of the things I like about that, other than the fact that it doesn't require you to have any form of equipment, it doesn't segregate the audience to a very particular class of demographic. It's accessible to all in the same way that kids use a Teams call in their school. One can use it. There's no blocker. I think that represents an opportunity. Would love to hear your reflection on that, on the question of platform and friction and adoption and the time it takes to make changes given your kind of robust experience. And, you know, when I asked you before about your journey, you mentioned that you came from the agency world, but you didn't give a scale. Like, I think it was helpful to just reflect on your personal journey. Like, you've been at this for a while and you've seen the evolution, you know, when the first chatbot showed up on a website, like, or, you know, like, so how do you feel this is going to develop? And also through this lens of making these decisions, of making sure that we're not just kind of blinded by the light of the hype, but rather focused on how to execute and deliver.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've in the working in the agency world, one significant part of what we practice, and I've been practicing it for over two decades, is the human connection, the human ingenuity in terms of driving the experiences. And that has always been the core of how I approach any problem. You know, the laptop, the phone is still a screen. It takes away the human interaction. In the good old days, you when you trade, you are face to face. And anything that comes in between takes it away. And I feel the metaverse brings it together, but the VR headset again takes it away. And I think our work that we have done using TouchCast and Microsoft technology is amazing. It takes, as you're saying, it takes away the weakest link that you need to have a headset. You need to be trained in how to use the headset, and really democratizes the access to metaverse. Unlocks the power of metaverse in simple daily life scenarios, right? Assisted sales is something that we focused on together, a personalized shopping experience. And it's pretty easy. You are on a website and you are buying a product, either through personalization or through self-selection. You determine that the path that you are taking is insufficient. You need more help. Instead of that help being available over the phone where you can't, you know, see the person, you can't see the product or interact with the product, or having the trouble of going to a physical store, here's a Teams link. You click on it and you are in that immersive experience. It's simple. It takes away the friction, democratizes the experience. Now you're connected exactly the same way a phone call is connected. But here, the experience is much more richer, right? You have a highly specialized agent on the other side who's expert on the technology, on the platform, on the product, on the service, talking to you, answering your questions. And as those are being answered, the intelligent technology will bring the product and focus on the right parts of the product so that you can immerse in it. It's just your voice that is guiding the immersive experience. You and the agent on the other side can collectively interact with the product. That's so powerful, right? You can infinitely configure that product, which even physical spaces does not allow you to do so. And you can access not just the inventory in the physical store, you can access all the inventory that the brand has, irrespective of that inventory is in the warehouse or in a store which is, you know, 200 miles away from you. And that I feel unpacks the power of access to the experience that no other substitute can offer. And that's why I'm so excited.
Reflecting on a company that has really inspired me most of my career, and that's Apple, and the revolutions that culture and that company has created with all the challenges that it also represents. One of the areas that they've kind of radically impacted, and again, maybe some of our listeners are not that, haven't reflected on them as much as what they've done in retail, and how they've changed the equation in terms of the relationship that the brand has with the customer and how they've managed to scale that. And I'm interested in your point of view on kind of that model and that point in time and how it reflects for other leaders that might be listening on this notion of direct to consumer access as opposed to working through a channel, and what that means, and what are the parts that a leader needs to consider when she thinks about trying to establish that more intimate relationship that her company has with the customers that they service.
Yeah, we both have a infatuation with what Apple has done in the direct space. It's just, I mean, if you think about very simple things, right? Take away the cash register. Doesn't help anyone, right? You have people who are experts on the floor. That's a reason for them to be in the store. They're helping you make the product decision in a very beautiful space, describing a very well-architected product. Now, a lot of Apple's competition would have access to the same level of expertise, and their products are amazing. I mean, if you look at Apple's competition, you know, we get into the Samsung territory, we get into the Microsoft territory, and other very capable manufacturers of high-tech devices. And we are just obviously talking about high-tech. We could take this conversation into fashion retail. We can take this conversation into, you know, more complicated appliances such as that Grainger or any other retailer would actually sell. But if we are in this space, they also have the same product. But their access to creating this space that Apple has created is not there yet, right? The amount of investment that Apple has done in building this physical spaces all across the world in the most prime real estate, not everyone will be able to get there. Apple has shown us the path of what it takes to build an experience, a direct experience through digital and through physical spaces. I think brands have the opportunity that have not invested so far in this kind of an experience to actually leapfrog much further by what they already have. They have the product, they believe in the product. They are successful, that's why they are still competing. They have a master asset, which is the brand that they have established. They have established through more traditional ways. They have access and availability of highly trained experts, product experts who help in designing the product. They can train a lot more experts to explain the same product in a very easy way. If they bring that and infinitely multiply that in the metaverse, that unpacks the same power, helps them to leapfrog as compared to spending billions of dollars in setting up what Apple has set up, right? So what Apple has proven to us is that it is insufficient just to have the best brand, the best product, the best people. It is to create spaces when they can connect without friction. That's what we have learned from Apple, right? It's costly to do that. It's complicated to do that. Digital makes it relatively easy. And that's the power of metaverse. That's what we're talking about here.
I think that's a great observation. And I can't help but, given that we're together on journeys with companies with very senior leaders at scale that are exploring this, I believe that one of the reasons there's only one Apple is because people can look at what they do, but I don't think most people really understand it. They just don't. You can see the store and try to dissect the different parts and somehow recompose it, and it's still not that experience, kind of like people trying to copy Coca-Cola's recipe. And right. I think for us to help others be successful, like they've illustrated, it's our challenge to tease out those vectors that drive success. And I think you've just articulated some of them very, very well. The area that I've been spending a lot of time thinking about as I have these conversations with leaders is actually the human capital aspect of this.
Right.
And again, for those that are not familiar with Accenture, the T&E practice, which is their talent organization practice, the multi-billion dollar practice that help companies through CHRO figure out processes of upskilling, et cetera. I think without that muscle and really understanding the human fabric of how to make the people in the arena have a sense of mission, simple things like not being motivated by commission, to your point about what that friction feels like, is so critical for a company that wants to embrace the very, I think the way you just articulated is a spreadsheet. Like you can spend billions of dollars to build, you know, hundreds of stores, or you can have thousands of stores without spending that money. Now, okay, what do you do with that? Okay, instead of investing it in the stores, let's invest it in our employee development. Let's recruit, let's train, let's build, create more jobs.
Right.
How do you create a sense of mission around that for these people that they feel that? And this also has to do with a generational challenge and a cultural challenge of people wanting to work in a place where they feel that their work has value. So just interested in your reflection on that observation.
I mean, the sexy thing about working at an agency is that what you do is immediately realized. We imagine an experience. We imagine a product. And in few days, few weeks, that experience is in front of the customers. We are receiving real-time feedback, and we are on our way to optimize it. And that gives me more kick than anything else, because what you do is realized. And that's what the unpacking of the human capital is. If we design an experience, if we put that experience in front of our customers, our consumers, and we are able to get insightful information, we can get their reaction to that one, and that can help us optimize it, that really unlocks the power. And a lot of people that I know are motivated. Now, you put these same set of people in the digital space behind, you know, a firewall where they're not talking to the end customers, where they're just scripting the experiences, where they are anticipating the customer interaction and building based on that. And you just let them unleash in a direct connection the best powerful tool that you have in your organization, your people who understand your culture, you understand the product, in front of the customers who are there to actually not just buy the product, but also buy your brand, which is reflected in your culture and your people. That just unpacks the power of connection in a new way that organizations have started to lose as they start to put majority of their workforce behind the wall into tasks that are not, you know, human centric. So, you know, simple things. You know, there's a large appliance manufacturer that we actually work with. Their tools are used in agriculture, in mining, in construction. It's, you know, it's a Swiss Army knife. And there are a lot of accessories and sensors that you have in the tool. Now, if you are selling that, it's a, you know, $500,000 buy in certain cases. If you're selling that tool, the amount of immersiveness that the customer needs to buy that tool is unparalleled. They have to get trained on that. They have to be certified on that. They have to be serviced on a much more regular basis for this very costly equipment to be productive 24/7. Just try to do it with more traditional digital approaches. Can do it. Just try to scale it with more traditional physical approaches. You just can't scale it, right? So now you're sitting at a conundrum where you have the best product that can be used in so many newer ways that has not been explored. And sometimes it is more explored by giving it in the hands of the customers and the consumers that are using it. How do you unlock that power? How do you bring it to that together to scale it? That's the technology that we are interested in. That's something that we want to invest. That's something that we feel defines the future of connectivity and experience in more ways than what we have right now. And so the journey that we are on right now, from the metaverse perspective, I feel unlocks that journey. I feel as this technology, as the intelligence in this technology continues to grow, we feel it is that scalable impact. And that's why Accenture exists. To take meaningful experiences that drive commerce, that drive brand, that drive the connection, and scale it. And scale it to a point that they are sustainable, they are optimized, and they are revenue generating. And that's what our focus is.
Yeah, I think those are very worthy objectives. I think as I listen to you describe that, it occurs to me that, you know, when we think of the metaverse, one attribute is the alternative physical reality that lets us do exactly what you described. And another way we think about the metaverse is also the space of all of the knowledge and the ideas that are shared. In contemporary AI, looking at embedding of content into multiple dimensions. So when we think metaverse, it's not an alternative three-dimensional metaverse. It's got over 1,000 dimensions because it also encompasses the content. And through that lens and the convergence of these technologies that are enablers, one of the things that we've been working on together is this notion that there is support for the human seller in the form of AI that is kind of a human plus machine. So as the conversation is ongoing, the technology can respond to what the customer is asking about. So it's kind of a hybrid, a cyborg. You know, you mentioned the bots earlier. The investment in those bots also plays a role in a live conversation because it supports the human seller, for example. So to give an example, if the customer, if I'm selling you a car and you say to me, well, I really want to see this in red, and it turns to red automatically. Like, I don't need to do anything as a seller. I'm not distracted by technology. It's just fluently happening. If the customer asks in the example that you showed at CES about how do I upgrade memory on this laptop, and this sequence starts that shows the laptop turning over, it opens and it's all automated. That's a nice trick, right? It's nice productivity, but from a strategic perspective, it has much more implications because historically, and you mentioned it with the example of the equipment manufacturer, when you create a product, you have to create a pedagogy around how to teach people about this product, and many times teach the channel, meaning the actual resellers, people that meet the client. Amazing amount of effort goes into that. And so much of that information is lost on the way. It's like a game of broken telephone. By the time
it's in a manual.
Yeah, it's in the manual.
It's in a manual.
Yeah, that nobody reads.
That nobody reads.
So much is invested and so much is lost. And that hurts the customer and it hurts the manufacturer because it creates a lot of breakage. So if we can almost skip that step and have the pedagogy, the collateralization be part of the human exchange, then it also changes the way you think about how to train channel, how to train salespeople, because the content is in situ. So they're going to be learning by doing, right? They're not going to be learning by going to some certification program. I mean, there'll be some of that, of course, but so much of the depth and once you create that digital layer, it's also A/B testing and test it here, test it there, see the outcomes. And then you kind of allow all these boats to float together and basically making the weakest person as strong as the strongest person in that group of people that try to achieve a particular goal by leveraging digital.
Or pushing each individual in your team to their maximum potential as compared to pushing them to the team potential, which could be much lower.
Right. Like you can't improve what you can't measure, right? And it's notoriously hard to measure a human interaction in the store, right? It's not, you can look at the outcome, but it's hard to really learn how to coach that person to better success.
Right. And I think, you know, all what we have learned from the digital, you can measure everything in a digital experience, right? And then you can and obviously if you're doing it well, you can then optimize it. If you know, most of the organizations that are super successful, even selling in that two dimensions, have applied this logic. Now, Metaverse unlocks this logic into more of a virtual world, which is combining physical and digital spaces. And that's quite powerful in my understanding. That unlocks the potential of that connection between a human and a device and a human and a human in a much more powerful way than the current approaches do. So I feel very bullish about where we are taking this conversation forward. How we are thinking that brands will rely on this technology to connect their customers with their employees, with their products, with their brand, with their services in a newer way that they imagine right now, in a much more powerful, automated, scalable way than they do right now.
Yeah, so really bringing a digital revolution to an area that hasn't been touched yet. It's still virgin territory. It's still analog for good and bad. And I think we do have a responsibility to help these leaders understand how to point their human capital in the most productive direction. And I guess as a last topic, because we're running out of time, even though I feel like we can talk for a few more hours, really been fascinating. I think the concept of how this investment in the metaverse construct, having this universe of associate sellers interact with customers, can also impact the physical footprint of that business. So just to illustrate simply the point, if a particular brand engages with this approach and gets to a point where they have a few thousand of these associates that are the equivalent of this Apple genius that is on a mission, not hard selling, expert, representative of the brand, and they're doing a great job and they're moving product in these amazing environments in the metaverse, those same individuals can show up in a physical environment. Let's say in the Apple store part of the Best Buy, it could be a hologram of that person. So that liquid workflow, workforce is actually seeps back into the physical as well, as does the investment in the visualization of these digital twins. Let's say if you are trying to sell vehicles, one of the pursuits we have is with very large vehicles, 18-wheel trucks. You cannot have an inventory, right? It's not possible. So by having a big LED wall in a dealership, you can suddenly take this investment you're making in this metaverse and utilize it also as a means to facilitate higher outcomes in a physical world. Be curious about your thoughts and that how the metaverse seeps into the physical.
No, I think that's a very powerful connection. Very powerful connection. And you know, let's use cars and automotive as an example. We are both passionate about it, and I've seen so many of the work, so much of the work that you have done in this particular space. So I'll tell you a pretty interesting story. So one of the largest automotive manufacturers, they are solving for their new dealership reimagination in bigger cities, Seoul, Tokyo, Shanghai, New York. And unlike, you know, I live in a suburb where the land is, there's a lot of land. So we see a lot of vehicles sitting in. You go to Seoul or you go to New York City, the dealership would have like five vehicles. And they are selling, you know, the most complicated product to an individual. And that is the biggest investment this individual will make in the next 3 to 4 years above and beyond the real estate that they have bought. And just trying to have them imagine that product through brochureware or through images on the wall, it just doesn't scale. It just doesn't scale. And you allow, you ask them to reimagine the car that they will be getting in to two cars that are sitting on the floor that may not be even similar to what the customer is actually buying. And that this metaverse really unpacks the power of that in that physical space, right? If you're in a physical space, unlike when you are only in a digital space where you have limitations on the device, on the edge device that you're using to connect with the metaverse, in the physical space, that limitation does not exist, right? You can have more powerful computing, immersive computing in the physical space as compared to on the go, on the run. And that really unlocks the immersiveness of you experiencing a vehicle, you sitting in a vehicle, the sound of it, the configuration of it, you know, the accessories that you want to buy, the human who is sitting right next to you to explain that all makes just the experience more intuitive, more genuine, more connected. And that's what makes us buy stuff when we are connected. So we are asked to solve for that one. We are building that showroom for them in these five cities. And what we are doing is taking the best of digital technology in those showrooms to have them immerse in the car buying experience that they will not be able to do even if they have 20,000 vehicles sitting. You can't drive all those cars. It is impossible. Even if you have the inventory, which is not possible in these big cities, you can configure the car that you want and experience the car before you buy it. And that's the power, right? Because you're now unleashing the computing capacity, the intelligence, the immersive experience, your brand, your expertise, into a connected experience, into an experience that scale infinitely. That's a power.
It's incredible. And you're really there. So it's been really fascinating to spend this time with you, Vic. I really thank you for making the time and your partnership on this journey. It's been very exciting and it seems to get more exciting every day. If our listeners want to learn more about Accenture's role in helping a company go through this multidisciplinary transformation, what would you say is a great place to visit? We can also link to it in the show notes. Is there anything that comes to mind that Accenture has published that helps paint a point of view?
Yeah, we on a regular basis publish field trends. For the last decade, every year, we have come up with those trends. We are making it even more concise. So what we have discussed is greatly influenced with those trends. So I invite you to go to Accenture.com or even Google and search for field trends. And you will see the top transformatory trends that we are driving to make the connection between the brand and the consumer or the customer. What it matters. And we spoke about few dimensions in this conversation. There are many more dimensions. Sustainability is another big one that we're talking about. Access is another big one that I encourage our listeners to understand. We feel those trends really bring our research that we do every year with thousands and thousands of people, with thousands and thousands of our customers to life. So hopefully you enjoy that.
Oh, terrific. That sounds like an incredible resource, and we'll link to it in the show notes. So for all of us that are on this journey, for all of you that are either on the journey or starting, let's have fun doing this. Let's make the world a better place. Let's create more jobs for people. Let's upskill people. Let's allow these companies to hit their targets and exceed them. There's so much opportunity. Thank you for listening. And until next time, goodbye and stay well.
Goodbye now.
Start your .metaverse journey today. You can claim your .metaverse Web3 domain for free right now at touchcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Subscribe today to stay up to date with our latest episodes.